beware and prepare for something spine-tingling, something horrifying, pure terror to your eardrums. This is Epic Film Guy's B-Sides.
And welcome, ghouls, ghosts, slashers, killer Santas, and maybe even killer snowmen out there, to another edition of Epic Film Guy's B-Sides. Yeah, that's right. We are not dead. We're coming back up from the grave to scare the shit out of you during the Christmas season. I am Epic Film Guy Justin.
And I'm Epic Film Guy Brian.
And tonight, Brian, we're going to be talking about a movie that you and I had the absolute luxury of seeing on the big screen at the Alamo Drafthouse this past weekend, the new 2K restoration of the horror comedy film Jack Frost from 1997, written and directed by Michael Cooney. This is a movie about a killer snowman. Not much else to say about that, Brian. We're going to jump right in and talk about Jack Frost. For those of our listeners out there that have never seen the film Jack Frost, no, we're not talking about the 1998 comedy starring Michael Keaton, who plays a snowman. We're talking
that
about
classic.
We're talking about a different Jack Frost. And I have to throw your, you laughed at this. You thought this was funny. I actually got upset over this, but when we went to see the film at Alamo Drafthouse, they always do the poster in front, like a digital poster, like a screen poster or whatever you want to call that. And I always get excited about that. I always take my, you know, selfie in front of it and post it to the Instagram or the Facebook page or whatever. And when we showed up, they had the poster for the Michael Keaton Jack Frost instead of the horror Jack Frost. I was kind of like, what the hell? I was pissed. You thought it was funny, though.
It was funny.
You,
it sounds like something I would do.
You dick. That's just your kind of sense of humor. But leaving that aside, I was pissed about that. I'm probably a little bit too superficial, though. It is the Christmas season. I shouldn't be. But tell our listeners, Brian, what Jack Frost is all about.
Well, I want to start off by telling you a joke, Justin. You ready?
I hope so. I'm hoping I'm ready. Hit me.
What's the difference between a snowman and a snowwoman?
I don't know.
Snowballs.
Oh man, that joke. Oh yeah.
This is the kind of comedy that Jack Frost has to offer, and they repeat it in the film 3 times.
You loved it though. You were like shaking your head. You were like, right, all about it, man.
Shaking my head, no, meaning, ugh, this is just the worst.
So
anyway,
come on, tell me, what is it about? What is Jack Frost about?
Well, the movie's opening is very strange. It opens with a voiceover of some British guy telling a bedtime story about a serial murderer to what is very clearly a grown woman doing a really creepy impression of a little girl. It's very bizarre. But in the story that he's telling her, the serial murderer in question is Jack Frost, who, on the way to his execution, coincidentally, gets doused in what I guess is some kind of genetic material, which causes him to melt and fuse together with the snow on the ground. So he's resurrected as, of course, a killer snowman. In his words, the world's most pissed off snow cone. Ha 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 ha. And he begins to take his bloody revenge on the sheriff who locked him away and causes general mayhem, I guess, in the town of Snowmanton. I swear to God, the town is called Snowmanton.
Man, I want to live in Snowmanton. Now, this film was shot in California, but they do their damnedest to try to make it look, but they really don't. They don't do
that. No, they really don't.
It doesn't look like it takes place with real snow, and one of the coolest things I thought, that I laughed so hard about, is I think there was a couple of shots in front of their makeshift police station where there's supposed to be snow. Like this, these rocks or like a hill behind the police station. And it looked like they took like white pieces of paper and like cut them out in the shape of a snow drift or snow something. And they like glued it on the rocks. I mean,
you're right. I mean, everything about this film is cheap and phony and lame. And watching this on a big screen in a brand new, beautiful looking 2K transfer, It's shocking how transparent the fakeness is. The film is set during the Christmas season, of course, and there's scenes of, you know, a snowman building competition when it's clearly June and there's absolutely no snow on the ground. And the snow looks fake. The icicles look fake. The snowman looks fake. And you mentioned the film was shot in California, which even just knowing that adds to the inauthenticity of the film.
Well, so I'm taking it. This is your initial thoughts, because I usually ask you for them. But as I can see here, you're jumping right in. It sounds like, Brian, it's just quite possible that you didn't like Jack Frost.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
It's actually happening. You know, this is a movie that I remember the first time I'd ever seen Jack Frost. I mean, it came out in 1997. And, you know, I had seen the film, I believe it was like on HBO or something when I was, you know, one late night or something, because it did do well on home video and in video stores and stuff. I remember seeing that cover with the, you know, the skeleton looking snowman head. It was either HBO or I actually rented it at a friend's house or something. Regardless,
that skeleton head does not appear anywhere in the film. So the cover lies. It lies to you.
False marketing, man. But you do see the fangs. You do see the fangs. But I remember the first time I had seen this thing, like at the time when I was that young, I don't think I knew the difference between so bad it's good or it's purposely trying to be bad to make it funny with the horror elements and everything like that. I watched ugly, mean-spirited horror just to watch it. So when I watched this thing, I remember, like, you know, being kind to it, like, oh, it's kind of neat, like a killer snowman, it's got to be cool, you know, just the thought, especially a horror fan thinking of that idea, like, dude, this is a slasher movie with a snowman doing the killing, it sounds like a great time. So for me, I, you know, over the years, once in a while I would return back to this film, and last year for the Christmas season I did throw it in my rotation, and you know, I watched it and I enjoyed it for the most part, but sitting down in the theater to watch this thing with all three or four people in the entire theater,
it was very bizarre. Yeah,
late on a Saturday night at Alamo Drafthouse, I kind of realized, you know, a little bit more was happening here than meets the eye. Jack Frost is just an outright bad movie in every way, shape, and form. But you know, that for me is kind of a good thing. I think it's got a charm to it because I know how horrible it is. By no means is this a good movie. I don't think there's really anything about it that's good other than the fact that it's bad.
You're absolutely 100% correct. It is a bad movie. And I'll get into a little bit later about for me at least, the difference between a bad movie and a so bad it's good movie. But like, just this movie, it's just cheap. Like, it's just kind of cheap and lame, and I don't know how else to describe it other than that. I mean, when there's a crowd scene of the whole town, there's only about 10 people there, and the snowman effects are just, like, there's a scene in which the killer snowman somehow causes a little boy to fall over and get decapitated by a sled. Which, don't get me wrong, it's amazing that a child is decapitated on screen, but like, the editing makes it impossible to tell how that actually happens exactly. I mean, the snowman effects are so terrible that if he's not just standing there, you can't tell what it is he's supposed to be even doing at any given time.
Well, I feel
it's
like
just
that
a very badly made movie.
I feel like it was intentional, though. That, and this obviously was a very strict,
that makes it worse.
Budgeted
that
film.
That makes it worse for me, though, that it was intentionally like, oh, let's make this a crap movie because, you know, it's a killer snowman. Like, people aren't going to take this seriously, so let's just not
job. Know, Brian, there are those out there that love, you know, trauma flicks, full moon flicks, a lot of other movies that are just done for shits and giggles, that are done to be bad. Like, we know you love the Toxic Avenger. Now, we're comparing Jack Frost to Toxic Avenger in any way, shape,
or form. The Toxic Avenger is a work of art compared to Jack Frost.
Let's face it here. This is done for a certain crowd, and you know it does have its comedy aspects. That it's written into the film. Now, obviously, I don't think that anyone could write and direct a film about a snowman out, you know, and they're in the Christmas season killing people and make it serious and make it work. I just don't think anyone would be able to watch that, sit down and be like, "This is a great movie," or really take it that serious. You know, I mean,
no, but I mean, like. But the comedy isn't really handled that well either. Like, the film, I mean, Jack Frost has all these, like, one-liners that are just groan-worthy. Like, there's a part where Jack Frost says, "Made in America," for no reason at all. There's another part where he says, "Don't eat yellow snow," for no reason
so
at all.
Hard at that.
So not only are the one-liners not funny, they don't even seem to make any sense unless I'm just not getting it, which I guess is entirely possible, but
okay.
It's just not funny to me.
Okay, I totally get that. So we go through this movie here after they find out that Jack Frost is on the loose again. And it's so funny to me that this character's name, his actual name is Jack Frost before he becomes a killer snowman.
How ironic.
When he's doused in this genetic material that causes him to mutate with the snow on the ground. And then he just immediately turns into a snowman. He's on the loose. He's ready to cause havoc and basically just go out and kill basically anyone he wants to. The whole aspect of that and seeing him go through and just start randomly kill people, it's hilarious to me. Like, I like the idea that there is no real structure to this thing and that it's just absolute nonsense throughout. I know you don't like it, but for me, you know, we have Sheriff Sam Tyler, played by Christopher Alport. He's haunted by these memories of Jack Frost, which, funny enough, he actually just caught him on the side of the road for, what was he doing? He was just, like, pulled over or something? Did he catch him for speeding or something?
He was taking a piss, I thought.
Taking a piss, there you go. So this guy, this sheriff, he's not a badass at all. They're really playing this guy. It's like, he's almost worthless, basically, like, and they keep pulling that out throughout the rest of the film, and that you can't handle this, we can handle it. And we have, what is it, the FBI agents played by Stephen Mandel and another gentleman who I don't even know who he is because I have no idea.
Who cares?
Who gives a shit? It's Jack Frost, but they show up in Snowminton. Yeah, that's right. I said the name of the town again, Snowminton. They convince the sheriff to put down a 24-hour curfew on and send out all of his office to gather all the townspeople. And basically, they're going to try to get this snowman to come into the town and take him out. Try to figure out how they're gonna do this. And this is like, I love how they hype up the snowman. Like, we never could have believed it could have been like this. This is bigger than our widest dreams. Oh my, you know, like they really talk up the fact that this genetic material made this serial killer into a killer snowman.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super glad that you enjoy all of that. And I know there are people out there, there are fans of this film who are buying this newly remastered version
of
Blu-ray.
A lot of people.
We live in a world where a 2K remastered Blu-ray of Jack Frost is just flying off the shelves. And I'm grateful for that, to be honest. I mean, the fact that, like, Manos, The Hands of Fate is being re-released on Blu-ray, like, that warms my heart as a fan of trash cinema. But anyway, but yeah, it's just not for me. There are some quality exchanges between Sheriff Tyler and FBI agent Manners that I really enjoyed. Manners. Their dialogue is actually like quippy and fun. Like, there's a part where Sheriff Tyler goes into the police station. He's like, I got a call from some asshole named Manners. And then he turns around, Manners is sitting there, and he's like, who are you? And Manners is like, I'm the asshole.
Oh, man, I love that scene. I laughed so hard. And that's the one thing, you know?
Yeah, and then, like, Sheriff Tyler asks him, like, are you FBI? And his response is, sure, why not? Like, that's great dialogue right there. That's great. So, there are a couple parts that made me laugh in spite of myself. But, I don't know. I think you seem to be a much bigger fan of this movie than I am, which is fine. That's totally cool.
Oh, it's not cool. You're wrong, Brian. You suck. I'm the winner. Hooray! Not really.
You forget that I am the god of podcasting.
I do forget. You did proclaim that. I forget on the Arrival review we did with Mr. Nick Haskins, epic film guy Nick, who is absent on Jack Frost. Man, I'd have to be really interested to hear what Nick would think if he sat down to watch this trash heap. But, you know, a trash heap it is, and a trash heap it should be. I enjoy it for what it is. But jumping on to something that's very important for a film like this, outside of the comedy and the weakly written characters, what did you think about the kills? Kills are very important in a film like this.
Yeah. Well, there's approximately one good kill in the film. And it's when Jack Frost throws an icicle through a guy's head. It's glorious. It's effective. It's gory. It's practically done, which is great. But that's about it in terms of kills in this thing. We do see a child get decapitated, and that's wonderful. But aside from that, you know, Jack Frost himself killing people, none of the others did anything for me. He jams an axe down a guy's throat, which doesn't even... make any sense when we see the dead body lying there later. Like, from a perspective standpoint, it makes no sense. I don't know, it's just supposed to be, like, a funny thing, but I don't know. That was the one good kill. That was the one kill where I was like, oh, wow, that's kind of impressive and kind of neat and awesome.
Well, but for me, I have to say, the kill that happened right before that, this all occurred, the parents of the little bully named Billy, the kill you talked about earlier, when the kid gets offed, which is awesome to see a kid get killed like that, especially a little bully, little jerk like Billy, when his parents, Jake and Sally, are sitting there, and Sally seems to be wanting to keep the Christmas spirit after her kid has just been slaughtered, and she's decorating the Christmas tree. She's got the music on, and
it's better than her daughter, who gets really horny when her brother's killed.
Well, I mean, extreme circumstances can cause extreme, you know, you never know. You get
horniness.
we'll get to her in a minute, but I think that it was my favorite kill as far as being a huge slasher fan is when the mom, Sally, gets killed in front of the Christmas tree with the Christmas lights. It's brutal. It's done a little bit of a mean-spirited nature, but it's still comedic with the Christmas lights wrapped all around her face, and she's getting choked out and, you know, strangled, and there's blood all over her face. It's pretty brutal for what it is, and I really enjoyed that aspect of it. But you did just mention their daughter. And their daughter is played by Shannon Elizabeth. Her name is Jill in the film. And Shannon Elizabeth, we all know, you guys know her from American Pie fame. She hasn't done really anything else notable since then. Nothing huge, at least. But she did do Jack Frost. She was really young at the time. I think she was probably around 21 or 22 when she shot this thing. Though she definitely, you know, very much plays a perfect 16, 17, 18-year-old, whatever, however old she's supposed to be in the film. Her kill is, as you had said it prior to recording this podcast, a snowman rape scene.
Yeah, it's, well, you know, poor Shannon Elizabeth, you know, breaking out, a first-time actress, and she's given the oh-so-dignified role of a girl who is raped to death by a snowman's carrot nose.
Well,
I guess the death of her brother makes her really horny. And she breaks and enters into the sheriff's house to have sex with her boyfriend.
That's
right. Why? Well, like, she draws a bath in a stranger's house. Like, why did she think this was a good
idea? And she blow dries her hair for like 10 fucking minutes in that house, dude. Literally, like,
she blow dries her hair before she gets in the bath.
I know, dude. That must have been like a thing in the mid-90s that girls were doing. Like, you blow dry your hair before you get in the bath. Right? But it's funny.
I don't know what girls do.
She was horny, but earlier on, the guy she brings with her to the sheriff's house, he was horny too, because he made that snowman that looked fantastic with the big breasts, remember? The sheriff had complimented how great the breasts looked, so I mean, they're both horny little kids, but he seemed a little bit weary about going into the sheriff's house. Hey, man.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
He got his. He got a pretty serious death in the house, too. I thought it was pretty hilarious, the fact they're like, let's just go into the sheriff's house. They're not going to come back. We're just going to sit around and blow dry our hair and take a bath and fool around and not ever actually have any sex. But you do get a naked Shane Elizabeth in front of a giant, you know, fake-ass snowman pressing himself up against her, you know, with, I don't know what he's raping her with because I didn't see any snow dick.
It's his carrot nose. He takes off his carrot nose.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, well, yeah. Carrot nose. Yeah, the carrot, okay. All right.
But that's the thing. Like, sometimes you don't even know what's supposed to be happening in a scene because it's not it's not put together well. Like, there's a very bizarre and protracted sequence in which Sheriff Tyler is reaching for a key in a door, and he keeps saying to himself, like, come on, come on, and he's reaching for it. And I was like, just grab it and run. You're reaching for it, but nothing's holding you back. And then he grabs the keys and then he drops them. And he's telling himself, like, pick them up. And I was like, pick him up. Like, for the life of me, I could not understand where the tension in that scene was supposed to be coming from, because it's not set up. Like, he's reaching for these keys, and I'm like, what's stopping him from grabbing it? There's nothing, holding onto him.
I can agree with you to an extent, but at the same time, that's like, you know, the slasher mentality. You kind of got to give him some leeway, like, hey, car's not going to start. The chick's going to fall over something in the road or around the side of the street. You know, someone's going to do something stupid. It always happens.
I guess. I mean,
dude,
I've seen plenty of slashers, but none where you like couldn't understand what was supposed to be even happening on screen.
Hey man, if you knew a giant killer snowman is coming after you, wouldn't that cloud your thoughts a little bit? I mean, a little bit?
No, I mean, usually adrenaline, you know, sharpens your instincts and your decision-making skills.
I see. I forgot you were an expert at that. So, Brian, overall, what did you think of the cast of Jack Frost?
They're all bad. All these actors are bad, except for the guy who plays Agent Manners, who I love. But, yeah, you know, you get annoying little kids, you get
Oh, man, don't even bring up... Oh, Ryan Tyler, played by Zach Eggington. That kid, oh, man, he made that awesome mushy shit, and he put it in a bag for his dad with antifreeze to eat. Because he didn't want his dad to get cold. Oh, man, that kid. Man, is that kid.
That is pure nonsense. What is that?
Oh, I love it.
No kid acts like that.
How do you know? There's lots of weird-ass kids all over this planet. And number one, number two, that kid's so fucking ugly. I mean, they picked, like, the ugliest kid they could in the casting call. Like, hey, man, we're trying to cast, like, a really ugly fucking kid with the most generic 90s haircut. And, man, that kid is the shining light of that film, the best performance of the entire film, Oscar worthy. I'm telling you right now, that kid was so fantastic. He was so fucking bad. It's so laughable. Anytime he's on screen, I'm like, man, they just had a ball cast in this thing. They must have been like, this kid sucks so bad. Let's cast him in a role. He's like $1 a day. You know, like, I don't even know. I just, that kid. But the antifreeze, what else did he mix in? I don't even remember. It was like making some mush in a pot.
It was oatmeal or something.
Some kind of oatmeal. And what's funny is when, you know, the sheriff, he's about to throw it out and he feels bad about it. And then he decides, like, to say fuck it and throw it back in the cop car. Like, he's going to maybe possibly taste it later. Really? He's actually considering that. We're talking about antifreeze mixed with oatmeal, people. But
he didn't know there was antifreeze in it at the time, because later the bag of oatmeal gets thrown onto Jack Frost, and we discover that antifreeze weakens him. That's his kryptonite. And so that's the big moment in the film. That's like in Troll 2, when it's discovered that a bologna sandwich is the troll's kryptonite in the film. So that's the pivotal moment. That's you know, so that's the big reveal. So you didn't want to reveal that there's antifreeze in it at the beginning, because that would ruin the big, you know, the big reveal at the end.
Oh, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, I have to give it this much. You said the whole cast sucks. I don't mind Scott McDonald as the title character, Jack Frost, as far as voicing and what we see of him in the beginning as the serial killer. I think he's hamming it up times 10, times 20, times 30, motherfucker. I think he's really pushing it to the top, and I think it's absolutely hilarious what he does with it. I love his voice. I love how over the top it is. I love how forced it is. It totally makes the entire character for me in every way, shape, and form. And you know what? To go out on a limb before we wrap this up, I like the snowman design. I love how shitty it looks. I think it looks fantastic. How they did it, though, is definitely mind-boggling. Because honestly, Brian, the whole time we were sitting there watching Jack Frost, I couldn't really come to think how they did the suit. Like, how there was a guy in there operating it and everything. I know it's very cheap, but it was surprising to me just to sit there and think, like, hey, man, someone had to be working that thing.
You know what they did? They took a snowman and they put it on a little cart. And they just wheeled it around, and that's how they made the snowman move.
No, I mean, there's someone in there. It's kind of like a puppet or something, because the hands move, the mouth moves. Get out of town.
It looked horrible.
It looked
great. Can we also talk about the music?
I love the music. All right, I'm going to throw this out
no,
there.
No,
before you go any
you're
further,
wrong.
I love, this is the first slasher Christmas movie that I can remember where they actually do, like, Christmas songs in slasher fashion on like a keyboard or piano or whatever they're doing, and it actually sounds somewhat scary and chilling, and you're hearing are you kidding me? It's fantastic.
It's public domain Christmas songs being plinked out on a synthesizer.
That's awesome.
And it sounds horrible. And any music that's not a public domain Christmas song being plinked out on a synthesizer is this bizarre, like, surfer rock or like rockabilly music that just does not fit at all. It's very strange.
this film was shot in California. What's wrong with rockabilly or surfer music? Maybe they were kind of throw it in the face of the audience, like, hey, we know this isn't really shot anywhere in the Northeast or anywhere where there's snow. We're just going to throw it in your face. You know what, Brian? You're totally wrong about this movie. Jack Frost is a fun, amazing time at, you know, at the movies, and you're missing out, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't shell out of your wallet there to get that brand new 2K restoration. I'm joking a little bit.
You're trolling.
I'm joking.
You're trolling.
But overall, as we can see here, Brian did not like Jack Frost. I was really hoping you would, because it is a really dumb movie, and sometimes you really like dumb movies.
Yeah, sometimes I do.
Overall, Jack Frost is Jack Frost. It's a movie about a killer snowman in the slasher fashion with comedy interjected. Is it good comedy or bad comedy? That's up to you, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm going to throw it to you, Brian, for your overall thoughts and your rating of Jack Frost.
Well, Jack Frost is not a good movie, and it's not a good bad movie. And I want to talk a little bit about this. See, the difference between a bad movie and a so bad it's good movie is that a so bad it's good movie has to be made with sincerity. It has to be made by people who genuinely thought that what they were making was something that would be acclaimed or well-regarded. And its failure is what makes it special. Movies like The Room or Birdemic, and I know those are cliche examples, but for a reason, the director was actually trying to make something good. Now, take Birdemic 2, which is the sequel to Birdemic. By that point, the director was in on the joke. So he set out to make a, quote, bad movie. So when you start out with the intention of making something camp and ridiculous and, you know, wink, wink, it tarnishes that charm. And that's what Jack Frost felt like to me. It felt like Sharknado, where, you know, hey, isn't this crazy? It's like, this is a movie about a killer snowman. Isn't that wacky? It's like, oh, the hijinks. And it doesn't take its ridiculousness seriously. It holds it at arm's length and kind of just like sneers at it and says like, look, we're making a bad movie. Don't sneer at it. Embrace it. I would totally watch a movie about a killer snowman if it embraced its ridiculousness. I don't know. It had a couple laughs starting out, and it had, you know, a couple good kills. One good kill, one decapitation. That was great. But any movie that features the decapitation of a child earns at least a couple points in
life. Oh, I love hearing that, especially around the Christmas season. Perfect.
Indeed. Man. But as it went along and the joke of a killer snowman just started to become more and more protracted, and the movie became more and more incoherent, it lost me. So I'm going to give it a 3 out of 10.
Whoa, dude, unforgiving. But totally understandable. I totally get your rating on that. A 3 out of 10 for Jack Frost. Wow. You know, for me, it's just that kind of movie where I sit down, I turn my brain off, and I know that's not the kind of thing I should be doing, but I just kind of laugh at how stupid it is and how fun and ridiculous it is. And even though you don't love Jack Frost, Brian, even though you didn't like the film, there's still something there that makes me enjoy it a little bit. I know it's not a great movie. I know it's really, when it comes down to it, a giant pile of crap. But at the same time, during the Christmas season, I can throw this movie in, have a couple of beers, have a couple of laughs, and just enjoy watching some killer snowman hijinks ensue, as you would always say. I totally get where you're coming from, but you're wrong. I'm right. We know this is correct. Jack Frost is what I would call a once-a-year type outing. Will I watch it next year? I don't know. Will I shell out a ton of money on a 2K restoration Blu-ray for the film? Maybe to hear a commentary of the director talking about why and how he made this movie, it'd be very interesting to hear.
Well, you know, Justin, you know what director Michael Cooney directed as well? He also directed a film called Jack Frost 2, Revenge of the Mutant Killer Snowman. And also, you know what else he directed, Justin?
Tell me. Please enlighten me, Brian.
Nothing.
That cricket sound needs to be thrown in there. Really? Wow. Well, you know what? I've never seen the sequel. I have yet to see it. But, you know, just for you, Brian, I'm going to find it. I'm going to watch that shit. Just for you. Maybe we'll be talking about the sequel for a full episode of Epic Film Guys B-Sides coming your way to frighten your Christmas spirit into death. Not really. Maybe possibly. But, hey, I'm going to give Jack Frost a 4 out of 10 rating. it is what it is. I still enjoy it for what it is. It is not a great movie. It is not a great slasher. There's literally no suspense in this thing. You know, there's not really any care put into this, but at the same time, you could tell that there were people working on this that did have a passion for the project, and that people really were, they're really doing their best to kind of make something. Is it a good one? No. But hey, if you enjoy crappy slasher Christmas movies, like the crappiest of the crappy, Jack Frost may be for you, so maybe you want to check it out. Do we recommend it? You know, above the other Christmas horror films out there? Most definitely not. But Jack Frost is a fun time for some, so we'll leave it at that. But leaving it at that, Brian, we're going to have a couple more episodes of Epic Film Guys B-Sides coming your way for the Christmas season, and maybe even longer than that. We'll see what happens. We're going to keep trying to churn these things out as they come. But until next time, I am Epic Film Guy Justin.
And I'm Epic Film Guy Brian.
And we will see you at the movies.